Good morning. We'll see if we can figure out this Bluetooth headset here. Okay, well, thank you for that, Marlon. Good morning to each of y'all. Welcome here to the service. It's a blessing to gather and worship the Lord as congregation here. So with that, I was asked to have an opening here, and I was thinking on what to share. I had a few extra days to think about it, and it seems like sometimes some of that, the battle intensifies sometimes the longer you maybe are aware of what you're about to do here. So the topic that I would like to share on this morning, it'll be a topical opening here. I was going to pick some verses out of Ephesians 6, and I was going to read verse 10 through 17 for a title. I would call it spiritual warfare, and there's different titles that would fit there, also known as the Christian's armor and so forth, but I settled with that one. Can everyone hear me okay in the back? I have it, I'm trying to get it adjusted. So we'll start here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I won't by any means here this opening exhaust the topic. There's many things that can be taken from those few verses from the entire chapter. Expanded on the book of Ephesians there, as Paul was writing and sharing his heart. The one thing that I take from this is our warfare is not against our fellow humans. As we all know, you know, there's many physical battles being fought in various parts of the world. It's man against man. There's hatred. There's envy and strife stirring up between nations. As Jesus spoke of wars and rumors of wars. But as people of God, and that's the thing I think that even the unconverted don't realize as much, is they're not fighting one another, but that's what the devil would have us to believe, because if we fight with one another, we miss out on the blessings of life. Love is not present. You know, you could ask, which of us haven't, you know, made a mistake in the past week as we interacted with our families, as we interacted at work? But in that, what is behind the scenes at work? The devil comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. I'm just going to go through here in the verses and expound a bit on various points. Just starting with verse 10, just the simple fact of being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Allowing Christ to live in us, that power could be manifest. It's being strong in the Lord and in his power. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And a few of these things, I looked at a different translation to get a little better understanding. The wiles of the devil there, some similar words would be Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the crafty assaults of the devil, schemes of the devil, snares as in traps. A few of you are familiar with the idea of trapping, but you set a snare to be able to acquire your intended target, whether it be trapping for beavers or wolves or coyotes. And the idea there, I do have numerous verses here to turn to. You don't have to turn to all of them. I'll just be paging through. You're welcome to follow. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, and this will fit into verse 12 as well. Humble yourselves, starting in verse 6 of chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The idea of the craftiness. There, Paul references in Corinthians, transforming as an angel of light. But just pondering on that, since the beginning of time, Scripture would tell us that the devil was cast out of heaven before the beginning. And then we have the story of Adam and Eve. But thinking of when we do things, we spend anywhere from we just start something to 5 years to 10 years to 15. When we start a project, whether it be work, what we do, or as the ladies in the kitchen, but in 15 years, you have perfected the craft at a much better place than you were at day one. And just thinking since the beginning of time till now, in a sense, the devil has perfected his craft of deception. Being able to manipulate throughout history, men falling. Two of the songs that we sang this morning, speaking of warfare, I was thinking of the one in the warfare that's raging, and I don't think it's in this book, but may the Lord depend on you. So I'll go on to verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. A different translation. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rule, against power, against worldly rulers of the world, against spiritual wickedness for heavenly things. I just appreciated the idea there. But you have, Paul speaks of principalities and powers various times. It's in Colossians, it's in Romans, chapter 8, 37 through 39. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the reference is there to principalities and powers. You have, in the spiritual sense, you have rule and power. You have the devil and his minions, the powers of darkness, and then it also talks about worldly rulers of the world. So you have wickedness within mankind ruling the world as well. And it says, against spiritual wickedness for heavenly things. The King James here is in high places, but it's speaking of the heavenly realm. The idea of fighting these things in the physical sense, we're fighting to attain heavenly things in Christ. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Wherefore, for this cause, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to resist in the evil day. The translation I was using there would have been the Tyndale New Testament, translated, he did it in 1534. It's just an older English rendition there, so in case you're wondering. But for this cause, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to resist in the evil day. The temptation, was thinking of 1 Corinthians 13, no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God will provide a way of escape. Going on to verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Thinking of the attire there, that would be the first one. But having your loins girt about with truth, we're all familiar with a belt. Speaking of truth, another idea for that was having your loins girt about with verity. The definition of verity, some words similar to that would be truth, integrity, accuracy, and honesty. I thought that gave a broader term there. You have, you know, truth in the physical and then the spiritual as well. But the idea of integrity, accuracy, and honesty going with truth, that word would be verity. Connotating something deeper, as in a true principle or belief, especially of fundamental importance. Follow my notes here. So it's giving the idea that it's a critical thing to take this on. We have, when you think of a breastplate, you have your vitals, your chest, the heart, the lungs, the breastplate of righteousness of God. thinking of some scriptures in Isaiah to go with that. And is it 2 weeks ago, I think, Brother Leroy shared on the mind. Tying this all in, I think we're all familiar. We've heard the term, the battle of the mind, the battle for the mind. Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 52, verse 7. While I'm here, this will tie into verse 15 here. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Flipping back to Ephesians 6. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I was looking into that. Another way, it just clarified it for me. And being shod with shoes prepared by the gospel of peace. You could take it both ways there, but I just appreciated how that laid it out there. We're all familiar with putting our shoes on in the morning, our boots, go to work. But it gives the idea there to put on those shoes that are prepared by the gospel of peace, the gospel of Christ. Interacting with others. in the workplace. We have a lot of opportunity there, as well as in the brotherhood. But the scripture there in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Also in Philippians 4, verse 7, a very familiar verse here. We'll start in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, the idea of the mind in which the battle takes place. We have the spiritual realm that we can't see, but we know it's there. And just thinking of all the things that are going on around us, we see that manifested more. Jesus also said, because of iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold in the last days. And like I said, we could go on there, but we see the unbelief around us. We see the lack of faith, the lack of the fear of God. Men biting and devouring one another. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So if we have truth, our loins girt about with truth, we have the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod, prepared by the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. That's not something we're wearing, but it's something we're holding. If you think of the soldiers at war. I wanted to pick up a verse in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The importance of faith. Faith in Christ, faith in God. Being able to quench, it says, all the fiery darts. Back to Corinthians 10 there and the idea of temptation. I did have another verse in Peter there. Didn't mark these, so bear with me. Trying to see where that one tied in. Okay, I'll leave that one for verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the helmet of salvation would be also worn on our head, the idea of the mind. Back to Peter, keeping with my notes here. That's where I tied that in. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. The next couple of verses there. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation and received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So the helmet of salvation, I just was thinking of that there. And we're thinking of the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I thought of possibly bringing one. I don't have one, but the idea here in Hebrews, you have a sword. We're all familiar with knives, but then this would have a double edge. You would have not just cutting one way, but cutting both ways, and then in and out, a double-edged sword. It says two-edged here. But if we can think of the sharpness of that, piercing even to the dividing asunder, we have soul and spirit, and I don't profess to understand all those mysteries as well, but joints and marrow, I think we're familiar with that. In our physical bodies, we have your elbow, your knees, and with that, within the joints, marrow as the, there's a lot there with the marrow, the lubricity, and then the cells within the marrow. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, giving the idea there that in the battle, you're bombarded at times in the mind, in the physical sense, but then God is looking at the heart, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What are our motives in the midst of those times that we are battling the most? In Isaiah 59, verse 17, it gives an idea there a little bit of the same thing. Starting in verse 16, and he saw that there was no man. This is in the context of the sins of Israel here, the Lord's hand being ready to help, the iniquity separating there at the beginning of the chapter. And he goes on, and he saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. And I wasn't aware of that verse in particular, but similar to what Paul wrote about in Ephesians, of this spiritual armor, that was speaking, from what I took from that, that was speaking in the context of God girding himself. The scripture that says vengeance is his, he will repay. But there in Isaiah, the Lord saw that there was no help for the people. And in that, he girded himself and brought salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 7 and 8. That in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And leaving you with a verse here in James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I'll stop there with that. You can go on in the next couple verses there on sin, but just as a way of encouragement in the week here, the coming days. I know with mothers and little ones and the family and the likes, sometimes it feels overwhelming. But to remember the whole picture. It's not just today. It's not just tomorrow, but it's for eternity. Think of when I was converted till now. Think of all the things that happened. At that point, I was rather naive to many things. I still have a lot to learn. But in beginning that journey of faith, I think it would sum it up that if we would have understood and considered, you know, what all would have befallen us, I think some of us would have gotten cold feet, so to speak. But that is also why God in His mercy doesn't allow us to know what's ahead of us. But He's there for the present. So as we continue the battle, just encourage us all to keep heart, keep our eyes fixed on Christ, and He'll see us through. So may the Lord bless you.